No doubt you have heard of the great friendship between David and Solomon. Well, today in the Warren County Radio Bible School, we're going to look at an old Sunday school lesson about David and Solomon. And this lesson was prepared by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of July the 31st, 1927. You may want to get your Bible and follow the reading with me. I'm going to be reading from 1 Samuel 18, 1 through 4, and 1 Samuel 19, 1 through 7. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's look at our lesson text. 1 Samuel 18, 1 through 4. And it came to pass, when he had made it into speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would let him go no more into his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of a robe that was upon him, and gave it to David, and his apparel, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. 1 Samuel 19, 1 through 7. And Saul spake to Jonathan his son and all the servants that they should slay David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to slay thee. Now therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself in the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee, and if I see aught, I will tell thee. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said to him, Let not the king sin against his servant, against David, but he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to theeward very good. For he put his life in his hand, and smote the Philistine, and Jehovah wrought a great victory for all Israel. Thou sawest it, and didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood, to slay David without a cause? And Saul hearkened to the voice of Jonathan, and Saul sware, As Jehovah liveth, he shall not be put to death. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as before time. The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is Proverbs 18:24. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The devotional reading is John chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. Even as the Father hath loved me, I also have loved you. Abide ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, even as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do the thing which I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and your fruit should abide, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye may love one another. If the world hateth you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Also read there, verse 18, John 15, 9 through 18. Now there's some geographical notes for this Sunday school lesson. We read about Gibeah of Saul. Gibeah was a town in the tribe of Benjamin, not far from Jerusalem, the home and capital of Saul. It is the place of the shameful story of the Levite, which caused the almost extermination of the tribe of Benjamin. And if you want to read a very unsettling story, you'll find that in Judges 19, 20 and 21. Now here's some helps and hints for the teacher. Continuing from the last verse of this lesson, 1 Samuel 17, 55 through 58 states that when Saul, David, go against the Philistines, he asks Abner, the captain of the host, "Whose son is this youth?" Abner could not say. And Saul said, "Inquire thou whose son this stripling is." When David returned, Abner took him to Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, "Whose son art thou, thou young man?" And David answered, "I'm the son of thy servant, Jesse, the Bethlehemite." Let's look at the explanatory notes. I'm going to begin by reading 1 Samuel 18, 1 through 4, where it says, "It came to pass, when he'd made an end of speaking to Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David, and his apparel, even to his sword and his bow, and to his girdle." We read that Saul took that day. Let's see, let me start over. It's here it is. "And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking to Saul, that Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would let him no more go home to his father's house. And then Jonathan made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. Jonathan was a most noble and worthy young man, but he thought David, in his heroism and undaunted courage and sublime reverence for God, more worthy of this apparel, even his sword and bow and girdle, than himself. Like attracts like. What is in one's own heart is shown by that which he admires in others. A thoroughly truthful, honest, upright man, a God-fearing man of sterling integrity, is attracted by the great admirers of men of like good qualities. There is such a thing as judging men by oneself. An unbounded, undying admiration for David sprang up at once in Jonathan's heart. His soul was knit to that of David, and he loved David as his own soul. As strange and beautiful as was the love of Jonathan for David, that cruel, diabolical plot, as we shall learn, was the result of envy and hatred of Saul for him. A strange contrast between father and son. The friendship of David and Jonathan has been proverbial and a model for the world ever since. It sprang up, as we have seen, when David, in fear and glory of God, slew Goliath, and it continued undisturbed through the lives of each. To love one as his own soul is expressive of the dearest and strongest friendship. Of this friendship, David sung over the death of Jonathan, "I am distressed for thee, my brother Jonathan. Very pleasant hast thou been unto thee. Thy love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women." 1 Samuel 1 and verse 26. Jonathan was courageous. and trusted God always. He scaled the heights at Mishmash and routed the Philistines because he relied upon God, saying, "For there is no restraint to Jehovah to save by many or by few." Jonathan recognized the worth, the merit, the heroism, and faith of David. And David likewise admired the same traits in Jonathan. The more wisely David acted, the more popular he became, and the more jealous and envious Saul was of him, and the more he hated him. But David was honored. David went out on military expeditions whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. He acted prudently, distinctly, humbly, and with good judgment. It was natural and right that Saul should promote David after his victory over Goliath and the Philistines. So he set David over the men of war. The people and Saul's servants approved of this promotion. But David was envied. After the giving the facts recorded in 1 Samuel 18, 1 through 4 as above, the historian returns, beginning with verse 6, to the account of what happened on David's return from the slaughter of the Philistines. It is not stated how much time was consumed by the army of Israel in pursuing the Philistines after the death of Goliath and following up on the advantages he'd gained for victory. When the army returned, the women came out of their cities singing and dancing to meet King Saul with timbrels, with joy, and with instruments of music. They sang to one another, that is, alternately, as they played, that is, as they danced, and said, "Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s." Saul had saved Israel at the beginning of his reign from the Ammonites in 1 Samuel 11, the Philistines and others in 1 Samuel 14. But while Saul had done this, David had done more. He had saved Israel when Saul had failed. It is no wonder the people honored David, while they did not forget to honor Saul. This song to the praise of David spread and lived among the Israelites and was not soon forgotten by the Philistines. But the saying displeased Saul, and he became wroth that they placed David above him. His jealousy was aroused, and he said, "They've ascribed to David 10,000s, but to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom?" Samuel had told Saul that God had taken the kingdom from him and had given it to a neighbor better than himself, 1 Samuel chapter 13. And doubtless he began to suspect that David was that one. Saul eyed David from that day and forward. He was suspicious, jealous, and envious. These evil passions soon drove Saul mad. On the morrow, after the women had celebrated David's triumph, an evil spirit from God came mightily upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. The spirit of God never departed from Saul, and this evil spirit never came upon him until he rebelled more than once against God. God never forsakes those who trust and obey him. This evil spirit was from God because God permitted it to take possession of Saul, just as God sends a working of error that the rebellious may believe a lie. 2 Thessalonians 2, 8 through 12. God is not the author of error, but overrules it as he does all things. He sees this evil spirit to Saul because Saul was a fit subject to be possessed by Satan. When Saul prophesied this time, he did not do that which he did when he prophesied under the Spirit of God. The margin says that he raved. The prophets of Baal prophesied, which embraced their gesticulations and prayers to their God. Saul did likewise.